Good morning and welcome to JFK Spotlight on Health. This is where we highlight the groundbreaking work being done at JFK University Medical Center in Edison. It's part of the Hackensack Meridian Health Network. My name is Joel Katz, and joining me this week, an encore presentation or a repeat appearance, Dr. Siddharth Mehta, interventional neurologist at JFK University Medical Center. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming back. I didn't think you would.
Why wouldn't I?
Just kidding. Some doctors just say, "Hey, once they go on the show, they're like, I don't want to work with that guy ever again." No, it's been a while. I think it's been well over a year. I would say like late 2021 is when we spoke last. And correct me if I'm wrong. I remember you saying that you're obviously a doctor, but when you were 4 years old, your grandmother said to you, I wish there were more doctors. And then
you remember everything.
Is that true? That is you. Okay. And you grew up, and all your siblings as well became doctors.
That's correct.
Wow. Well, you remember, that's a really cool story. Well, Dr. Mehta, let's start with, we're talking about stroke today. It's a fancy word for a brain attack, but can you explain it a little more in depth?
Yeah, so you're right. This is a fancy word for brain attack. It's actually the attack of the blood vessels of the brain. That's the more correct way of looking at it. So normally blood vessels supply blood, bring blood, which carries oxygen and nutrients to the organs. And when there's a problem, so normally blood vessels, what job is to blood, and with the blood, it carries oxygen and nutrients to all parts of the body.
Mm-hmm.
And when it affects the blood vessels that supply the brain, it's called a stroke. There are two types of stroke. One is the ischemic type of stroke, which is when the blood vessel gets blocked off or clotted off. And the other type of stroke is the hemorrhagic type of stroke, and that is when the blood vessel that's supplying the brain actually ruptures or leaks and causes blood to come out of the blood vessel.
So you said the ischemic and the...
ischemic. And hemorrhagic.
Okay. Now, is there one? I get they're both not good, obviously, but is one worse than the other?
They are both really bad.
yeah, I kind of figured that.
Both can be just as bad, but the ischemic one is the more common one, which is the one that we usually talk about because it's so much more common.
And how common is it?
So in the U.S., 800,000 people are affected with stroke a year. So that's the commonality of the incidence of strokes.
Mm-hmm.
Out of that, 85% would be ischemic and the 15% would be hemorrhagic.
I see. Okay. But they're both bad. So
they're both bad.
You treat them differently?
Yes.
Okay.
We think of it like plumbing. If it's a blockage type of stroke, then we have to open up the blockage. If it's a hemorrhagic or bleeding type of stroke, then we have to patch up the blood vessel.
Mm.
So we have to embolize or block off the blood vessel.
So it's kind of like plumbing. If you either your pipe is clogged or you have a leak.
That's exactly right. I tell everyone, we're the glorified plumbers. We're the plumbers of the brain.
Well, yeah.
But the plumbers get paid a lot more than we do.
Yes. You went to the wrong profession, right? Okay.
Yeah, and I've told my wife, whenever there's any plumbing to be done in the bathroom, please don't call the plumber. I am the glorified plumber. I can take care of this too.
Oh, so you can do that as well.
Yeah, of course.
And did you, I don't want to get off path here, but did you learn how to do that based on what you learned in medical school? Or you just learned it like, you know, I can do some plumbing too, so you just learned it through your life?
Well, actually, this is the only plumbing I can do with having a beer, so I actually enjoy it. it's exactly the same thing. So plumbing, let's talk about that. So when there's a blockage in the pipes, one thing you can do is give Drano. And what we do, it's not obviously as a neurologist, we don't give Drano, we give TPA, tissue plasminogen activator, clot busting medication. If the blockage is so severe that Dreno does not work, then what's the next step the plumbers do? They use a snake and they use devices to try to take the blockage out. And we do the similar thing. If the blockage is so severe that the TPA doesn't work, we go in mechanically and pull out the clot. So it's very similar mechanisms. Of course, it's a little bit more. You have to be a little bit more finesse going into the brain than going to the bathroom sink.
So it really is just like plumbing. You weren't kidding.
Yes, sir. Yeah, that's right.
It's different, obviously, in many ways, but the same. So let's talk about we need to talk about stroke as we are now. This is one of the reasons we're talking about it, because people need to be aware of it and know what they can do to prevent it, or what they need to do when it happens to someone, to themselves or somebody that they love, or to anybody, that if they experience somebody having a stroke. So let's go there, the reason we're talking about it.
So let's talk about the signs and symptoms of stroke. Is that what we should be talking about, I think? Mm-hmm. That's important.
So depending
on what part of the brain is affected, you could have different signs and symptoms. Remember, the brain is a computer. So depending on what part is affected, you would have different signs and symptoms. And it is very important that when you get the signs and symptoms recognized, it's important to be fast. This way you can get given them the appropriate care and bring them to the appropriate hospital. So there's an acronym called BFAST, and that summarizes the most common and disabling symptoms of stroke, and we can go over that. But the important thing is, once these symptoms are recognized, please call 911. This way the hospital, the neurologist, stroke neurologist, the interventional neurologist, can do their part in saving the brain.
So let's
talk about that BFAST.
Yeah. I want to talk about that in just a second. We'll get to the acronym. But if I see somebody having a stroke, I need to make the call first. There's nothing else that I need to do before that.
That's exactly. Time is brain.
Okay.
As soon as you notice the signs and symptoms, you call 911, and then you can, depending on what the symptoms are, you can talk about that too.
Okay. And what can I, once I call, is there anything I can do to help until the paramedics get there?
Yeah, you depending on what the signs and symptoms are, you can help. If the person is lying on the floor, you want to put them in a position where it won't harm them. Obviously, if you feel that, remember, it's always important, the airway is always important, airway, breathing, circulation, the basics are always there. So if there is any compromise, you have to know the basic life support to help.
So flat on their back, is that okay?
Flat on the back, just make sure their airway is open, and make sure they're breathing, and make sure they have a pulse.
Okay. And if they don't have a pulse, what do I do? CPR?
Yes, CPR.
Okay.
For whatever reason, if you don't know how to do CPR, don't panic. There's definitely someone close by that would know how to do CPR. So that the most important thing is, don't panic when these things happen.
We kind of have an idea for those who don't know CPR, compressions on the chest. Good idea or bad idea to just try whatever they know? I mean, there's certain timing involved, right?
Yeah, if someone is not responding, if someone doesn't have a pulse, there is no harm in doing CPR.
Talking with Dr. Siddharth Mehta, interventional neurologist at JFK University Medical Center, let's get into the acronym, BFAST.
Yes, sir. So BFAST, B stands for, again, these are signs and symptoms of stroke. So B stands for loss of balance. Which is the B. Then problems with walking.
Okay.
So that's the first one we talked about.
The B is
balance.
The
next one is E, which stands for eye deviation, or any change in vision or having double vision. So when the eyes are looking towards one side, that's a very common symptom of having a stroke.
Okay, so we have the BE so far. Oh, so far, these are symptoms that I can see for myself. It doesn't have to be someone else. I know if I'm having trouble balancing, and I know if I have blurry vision. So that could be telling me myself before that a stroke is coming.
Yes.
Okay.
These are signs that you might.
And could
the
be.
The problem is a lot. Yes.
You said the problem is.
The problem is a lot of times people neglect this, and they're in denial that they're having symptoms, so they never get the appropriate help. That is why it's important that if you notice another person with these symptoms, you should think this is a stroke.
Mm-hmm. And the third symptom in BFAST is the F. And that is obvious, which is the facial droop.
That's correct. So that's an obvious one. If you see the face drooping towards one side, either the right or left, this is a very classic, common symptom that anyone can tell.
And then we move on to the A in BFAST.
Yes. A stands for weakness of the arm. And it can also be the leg. It could be any limb. But that's what A stands for. So if you have any weakness on one side of the body, that's very classic.
Okay. So again, the acronym is BFAST, B-E-F-A, and now we're up to the S.
And S stands for, guess what? It stands for, importantly, speech.
Mm-hmm.
They're having trouble getting words out. They're having trouble and having good speech, and those things, speech is a classic symptom.
And finally, the T stands for time.
T stands for time is brain. Act fast.
Okay, so there we have it. BFAST is the acronym, and this has been talked about a lot, but it's really hard to remember after a long period of time. You know, as time goes by, people hearing it now might have picked up on it, and I have it in my mind, and of course you know it, and you're never going to forget it. But you know, after time moves on, I think it's important for people to review it every once in a while.
Yeah, and that's why it's important. The Stroke Awareness Month is the month of May. So during that time, these acronyms are always repeated.
Mm-hmm. And it's important to know it. I mean, it really is. It really could save a life. Knowing these symptoms or not knowing these symptoms could be the difference.
It's actually, having a stroke is actually worse than having a heart attack, because a stroke, if these symptoms get delayed, they will have permanent disability, and they will end up in a nursing home, being disabled. And heart attack is different, right? Either they make it or they don't, but they don't have that permanent disability where they'll be in the nursing home. So a lot of people would rather, would not want to, I mean, of course, no one wants a stroke, but even if you compare it to a heart attack versus a brain attack definitely is more disabled.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, so once we have a stroke, and we call 911, and the paramedics come, and they take us to the hospital. What happens then?
Good question. So depending on the type of stroke, the way you can tell the type of stroke, the symptoms might be the same. The way you tell is by doing a CAT scan. So the first thing that happens is after they stabilize the person, make sure the vitals are stable, the next step would be to get a CAT scan of the head. And that's to, again, differentiate between the blockage type of stroke or the bleeding type of stroke. You can see it on the CAT scan.
Okay, and then what happens from there?
Sure. So since more commonly it's a blockage type of stroke, let's talk about that. So if it's a blockage type of stroke, you will not see any bleeding on the CAT scan. The next step is, if they're in within time window, which is within the 3 hours, they will be getting a medication called TPA, which is a clot-busting medication. It stands for tissue plasminogen activator, and that is to bust open the blood clot.
Okay, and this is nothing new, right? This is something that JFK has been doing for a long time, right?
Yes. So we are a comprehensive stroke center. which is the highest qualification you can have for any center that treats with strokes. So what that means is we can give clot busting medication, as well as we can do mechanical thrombectomy, which will be the next step if the blood clot is not amenable or not treated with the clot busting medication.
What is that called again?
It's called mechanical thrombectomy. There was actually a very recent article in the New York Times. It was in March of 2023, and it talked about this revolutionary stroke treatment will save millions of lives, a procedure called EVT, or endovascular thrombectomy. So this just came out in 2023. We at JFK have been doing this for over 15 years, and we do approximately one of these procedures every other day. So it's a very high-volume center here at JFK. It is so specialized here at JFK that we actually have fellowship training in interventional neurology.
So are
I
you,
can talk about the procedure.
Yeah. So wait, let's jump back with the endovascular thrombectomy you said?
Yes.
This is, you said this is new for 2023?
So it's now been publicized. It's been in the New York Times, so everyone knows about it.
I see. Okay. Year. Yeah.
It became standard of care at most big centers since 2015 after trials showed the positivity. We at JFK have been doing, we were part of the trials. We at JFK have been doing this since 2000, in the 2000s, in mid-2000s.
So you've been doing this for a long time. And what was it like before? Well, why don't we go through, you were going to tell us about how the procedure works, and then we can discuss what it was like before this procedure, how different the difference in the results are. So tell us about the EVT.
Yeah, so one thing is Dr. Kermani, who came to JFK, brought this this expertise in the field, and that helped continue growing it at JFK. And we were the first comprehensive stroke center in the East Coast. So the procedure that we're talking about, endovascular thrombectomy, which saves millions of lives, or will save millions of lives, has to do with taking pretty much unclogging the blood vessel of the brain. We go through the blood vessel of either the leg, mainly the leg, but sometimes you can do it from the arm as well. And we carefully advance a plastic tube, which is called a catheter, to the affected blood vessel of the brain. And the way we know what blood vessel is affected is based on the symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
Through this plastic tube, we can give the clot busting medication, the TPA, or we can suck out the clot with an aspiration catheter, or we can mechanically pull it out with mechanical device such as a stent. Like I said before, this is just fancy terminology for this plumbing of the brain, and it's called the endovascular thrombectomy. This procedure can potentially and many times reverses all the signs and symptoms of stroke if acted on fast.
So someone has a stroke.
It's so important to be fast.
Yeah. We get some to the hospital, and this procedure is done immediately as soon as you realize what the symptoms are and you diagnose the issue.
Sometimes we get activated even in the field. Our EMS at JFK is so good. They, based on the symptoms, they know that this will require either endovascular thrombectomy or it will be a large hemorrhage. So they already see the signs and symptoms, and they activate us in the field. But by the time they get to the hospital, we have a very strong neurology residency program here at JFK, and with the ER, they work very closely with the ER, and they activate it instantaneously.
Yeah, and you're ready to go as soon as the patient gets there.
Exactly.
What causes this? Because if someone has, you said, you know, if you get them fast enough and you can clear the clot, I mean, there's a couple different procedures, as you say, you know, either the catheter or the clot, but you suck out the clot, as you said, and then they're back to normal, most likely. But What causes that to begin with? How can we prevent that? Is there anything we can do to prevent? Blood thinners? I mean, we wouldn't just take blood thinners randomly, right?
Yeah, no, you don't take blood thinners randomly. The most important thing to prevent strokes from happening, this is the simple part that people don't understand. The most important thing is lifestyle modification. All the things we hear about, strokes, cardiovascular disease, cancer, you can prevent a lot of this just by lifestyle modification. What I mean by lifestyle modification, very important. First of all, stop the smoking, stop the drinking or cut down significantly, and importantly, eat healthy. Everyone knows what healthy eating is. It's tough when you have a cupcake in front of you and think what's healthy eating, but everyone knows deep inside what's healthy eating. Exercise regularly, and it doesn't mean to go and run marathons. What you need to do is just go out and go for a 30-minute walk 7 days a week, and that is enough, has enough exercise. So basic things. The other thing you can do is stay hydrated. A lot of times strokes happen because of dehydration. So if you stay hydrated, that is a big help. And just control your weight. These are the basic things that we can do to prevent stroke. Of course, when it gets a little bit out of control, we can always give medications. There's antiplatelets we can give to prevent strokes from happening. But to prevent strokes, the most important part is lifestyle modification, which we unfortunately don't address as much as we should be.
Yeah, I mean, all the things you mentioned, they're just things for a healthy lifestyle, period, and can prevent a lot of things.
Yes, and yeah. It's not rocket science. It's not even neuroscience. This is basic stuff. And unfortunately, I don't think most of us follow this, including myself at some times.
Yeah, I'm kind of reviewing in my mind all the things that I do. I think I'm in pretty good shape, except for I eat healthy, but, you know, we all eat cupcakes. I mean, I'm not going to ask you how many cupcakes can I have a week, but when you said cupcakes, I'm like, should I never have cupcakes? And obviously you can have cake.
No, you should eat cupcakes. That's your meal. I think of it as like 80-20 rule. 80% of the time you do the right things, and 20% you can cheat. Everyone, you have to enjoy life as well. But the 80% is important. So the Monday through Friday, you eat healthy, you work hard, eat healthy, do all these things. And on the weekends, you can relax and have a cupcake that's going to hurt you.
You treat yourself with a cupcake.
Of course.
What about, you know, a lot of people on their way to work, they stop at a coffee shop and they get a donut and a cup of coffee. I mean, I'm assuming coffee's okay on a daily basis in the morning. Of course, you don't want to overdo that either. But these donuts every morning, that doesn't sound like it's something you would recommend.
Sure, you can have donut every Saturday morning.
Right.
But not every Monday through Friday morning. That's what I'm saying. So the 80-20 rule is for donuts as well.
Right, okay. Yeah. And what about bagels? I'm not going to go through it. I'll finish with the bagels, because that's another thing that people might have on a regular basis for breakfast.
Yeah, no, you're right. So bagels, what bagels has, it has a lot of energy. And if that energy doesn't, you're in your car, you have a bagel, then you go to work, then you have a job where you're sitting on your desk. Mm-hmm. That energy is too much. So the bagel is bad because you don't burn off that energy. If you're going to run a marathon afterwards, then go ahead and have 10 bagels. So it's again, controlling your weight is important.
Right,
and
okay.
You have to worry about the calorie intake.
Okay. Sounds good. Anything you'd like to add that we didn't cover today?
Yeah, I just want to reiterate again, time is brain. Every minute you delay the treatment, you lose 2 million brain cells, so it's very, very important to be fast. And please help us in this battle against stroke, and only we can do this as a team. Remember that we can be stronger than stroke, and please, we have to be aware of the BFAST acronym, and that's all I would like to end with.
Great. Thank you. Dr. Siddharth Mehta, thank you for joining us on the program again, interventional neurologist at JFK. Thank you.
Thank you for having me, and it's a pleasure.
There he is, Dr. Siddharth Mehta, interventional neurologist at JFK University Medical Center. For more info, go to jfkmc.org. For a podcast of this show, you go to foxsportsradionewjersey.com. JFK Spotlight on Health is brought to you by Hackensack Meridian Health. Keep getting better. I'm Joel Katz. Next week, we'll chat again.